So let's begin with the Amida. We'll start looking at some of the Jewish sources on the Amida, where it comes from, how it was formulated, and then we're actually going to spend a few classes going through it, looking at some of the blessings in it. So first of all, the word Amida. The word Amida means
to stand.
And while some tefillot, some prayers, we do ideally sitting down, the Amida is a standing prayer. What else does the Amida refer to? What's another name for the Amida? The Shemar. What does the Shemar Esra mean?
18.
Why is it called the 18? The 18 blessings. Although, says Bella, they are 19, correct? It was an extra tefillah that was added on a little bit later in history. We'll see why that particular prayer was added and slipped inside the Amida and was kept. Could you give this to Kim, please? Okay, let's have a look at the Gemara Megillah. Says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, and some say it was actually in a Braita, that there were 120 elders in the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, in the Great Assembly. Many of them were Nevi'im, were prophets. And they established the 18 blessings in the order that we have today. Okay? So this wasn't, people say the Amida was made by the rabbis. It wasn't like a few people sitting around a table, you know, in some synagogue somewhere, like, okay, so what should we do exactly? Let's make some prayer. Now, these were leaders of the generation. These were the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. There were 120 of them, and among them were Nevi'im, were prophets. So that is the... So it was really composed by this grouping, who were the greatest scholars of their day. And they lived between the first and second temples. That's the 4th century BCE. And they led the Jewish people during the transition from exile in Babylonia to Persia to return to the land of Israel. And they oversaw the building of the second temple. Okay. So one second. If they formulated the prayers, the Jewish people were around way before they turned up. Right? So what were the Jewish people saying? What were they praying?
Everyone was praying their own thing.
Exactly. Everyone was pretty much doing their own thing. And they knew how to do it. And that's why it says, the Rebbeinu Bechaya says, V'tzarech ataladad, you should know, ki most Moshe Rabbeinu, Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, hayatat tefillah b'Yisrael, the people would pray, bilti musudera b'tikun shavah l'kulanu, in a very personal, disorganized fashion. Whatever you wanted to say, you said. You wanted to have wealth, you made up your own prayer. You wanted to have health, you made your own prayer, you know? Funny, when I was a... I'll never forget, when I was a kid, my Rebbe in Yeshiva did an exercise. He gave us a blank piece of paper, and you can try this yourselves, and said, write your own prayer. Write your own prayer. I'll give you 20 minutes. How long do you think we lasted? After 2 minutes, everyone's sitting there, you know? I mean, not checking their iPhones, because they didn't exist, but like bored. You know, what do you say? Dear Hashem, you know. I mean, I was like, you know, 10 years old, so I was asking for like an Atari. But, Atari? No? Okay. So, people don't really know what to say. And that's pretty much what happened. There was this Yerida in the Dorot. People were able, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, to make their own prayers, to speak at length, and pray a long time. The Talmud says people used to pray for hours and hours on end. They would know how to speak to Hashem. They would have this direct communication. And then there was this lessening of the generations, and people didn't know what to say. So the rabbi said, you know, we're about to go into exile. Hebrew's about to be forgotten. People are going to be disconnected. They're about to be kicked out of Israel. We're going to have to make some way of them being able to pray together. Okay. So it was, however, each individual prayed their own way. And then the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah came along, he says, and made a set prayer for all the Jewish people. Now, it doesn't mean you only had to say this. You could say whatever you wanted. You can pray whatever you want. But this is the basic track that all the Jewish people are on when it comes to prayer. Okay, I think as well, the fact that this was at the time of the dispersion of the Jewish people, the rabbis of the day were worried that Jews were also in different places, And he would visit one community and feel disconnected, and they're not praying Hebrew, they're praying in, I don't know, French or Latin, whatever they're praying. And then all be able to, like, connect with each other. So the rabbis of that day as well, I'm going to assume, wanted it so that when Jewish people went to visit anyone else, they would have the same language, the same prayers, and can join in with their brethren no matter where they were around the world. Okay? I believe that to be part of it. Yeah, they wanted to feel as though when you go anywhere, to this very day, you know, people are, most people, unfortunately, do not speak Hebrew. Actually, most Jews don't even read Hebrew. I believe. Maybe most is a big thing, because half the Jews are in Israel, we assume they do. But the Jews around the world, especially in America, they don't. So at least when they go to synagogue, you know, or at least at the Pesach table, everyone's doing their, you know, kind of like, there is some kind of collaboration that we're able to, like, know what's going on, you know. And that's what the Rambam says. It says the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah, at the beginning, he says, Kevan Shegali Yisrael Mei Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, since the Jewish people were exiled in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the Rasha, the evil one, he destroyed the first temple, right? Did Arab Paras V'Yavim V'Sharmos, the Jewish people were mixed up in Persia, Greece, and other nations, he says, V'Nadalhem Banim Barasot Goyim, and they were having kids in other lands, right? They were all kicked out of the destruction of the first temple. V'Otan Habanim Nidbalbala B'Sfatam, they didn't know how to speak Hebrew, they were speaking different languages, they weren't able to communicate to in Lashon Kodesh, in the Hebrew language. And those children spoke mixed languages, and each person's language is made up of many different languages. It was a complete mix. The Jewish people are now completely mixed up. Second page, V'kevan Shehaya Medaber, and when he would be able to express himself, right? Any yachol ledaber kol socha b'lashon achat. She was like a mixture of languages. As the prophet Nehemiah says, Shneimar, V'neim chatzim midaber. Ashdodis, they would speak in this speech of the of Ashdod, right? And couldn't speak the language of the Jews. V'neim makirim midaber yudit g'loshon am. So all the Jews were like doing speak in their own language, which we see. So we Jews need to have a common language that we're able to speak in. U'mepnei zeh, says the Rambam, because when each one would pray, he would be unable to express himself and his needs. Or like Yishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to praise Hashem, B'Lashon HaKadosh, in Hebrew. Hebrew was forgotten from our people. Ad she'erev ima l'shonot acherot. V'kevan shera Ezra obey din kach. So Ezra saw this. Amdu v'tiknu lehem shemat esre barachot al ha'seida. He said, no, this isn't good. Jews all over the world speak different languages. They don't know how to speak Hebrews. They're not praying properly. They're forgetting how to pray. So we're going to make this track. In other words, this is like not the optimal way to pray. This is not the best way to do it. This was out of necessity that this prayer, the Amidah, was set up. Now it's a very holy prayer. It's set up by holy people. And in it is everything you need. It's like, the cliff notes, if you will, of everything you're ever going to need to know in terms of prayer. But that wasn't the real way to do it. Real prayer was a person turning to Hashem and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that concept for most people is alien. I mean, what do you mean? I just read the words and that's it. So, no, a person was meant to and is meant to speak and communicate and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll see later on the Amidah, by the way, that there are actual personal tefillot that are added in. Bless you. And again. That are added in the tefillot in different places. And those are the ways people are meant to pray. Yeah. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, he says that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah Tiknu Tefillah Zo Shel Shmoneh Esrei, they made this 18 prayer. Kadei Shiyete Musar B'Fi HaKol. You want it so everyone at least have it. They would have it Baal Peh. They would just have this one thing fluent in their mouths all the time, no matter where they were, no matter how old. Everyone had this one prayer. We were all on the same university course called the Shmoneh Esrei. That's what he wanted. That's what the rabbis were trying to do. So they used a very simple language. It's not very, if you look at the language, it's very simple. It's not complicated. It ain't highfalutin, right? It's not a deep text. It's not Kabbalistic insights, you know? Although I'm sure all these things are found in there. But if you look at the words of the Amidah, they're very simple, very clear. A 5-year-old can understand them. A 20-year-old can understand them. A 50-year-old, 100-year-old can understand them. You can get as much depth out of it. And when we go through the meter, we'll see how you can read one of these blessings in a simple way. But you can also read it and say, wow, there's like a lot of depth of it. We want to pick up. But you're meant to pick up. You're meant to, as you get older, you're meant to get more out of it. You're meant to appreciate it a lot more. Kidei, shlo yitbalbulu haryonim bahavanas halashon sheyekol Yisrael shavin ba bein chachamim bein tipshim. Amida is idiot-proof, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. A person could not know one thing about Judaism. He could be a complete ignoramus. He doesn't know his shofar from his matzah. He knows how to read Hebrew, basic Pashat Hebrew. He says the words, the job gets done. And it does get done. It does the job. You fulfill your obligation of tefillah with these prayers. You're doing it. It works. It gets the job done. Okay? That's the Rabbeinu Bechaya. No matter how smart, how foolish you are, by the way, it's a monumental task to make one text that's going to work for a 3-year-old and a 100-year-old. That's unbelievable. And both get something out of it. You know, that's impressive. And not only that, it's going to last right through Jewish history. I mean, it can only take, like, prophets to make that happen. You know, and this has become, it's been accepted among the entire Jewish people. You know, I mean, they've messed around with other parts of Tefillah, unfortunately, many sects and cults and groups. But the Amidah has withstood the test of time. You know, I mean, for us it's obvious, like when you pray, say the Amidah, you know. But that was a created reality. It wasn't always meant to be that. That was only by necessity that had to be created. So that was the 18 prayers. Says the Rambam, then something happened, and they had to add a prayer in there. They had to put the cursor halfway through the Amidah and stick in another prayer. Says the Rambam, a little bit of history. B'yimei Rabban Gamliel, in the time of Rabban Gamliel, Rebu Aminim b'Yisrael, there were a lot of Minim. What are Minim? Not people. Minim are heretics, non-believers, who started to increase among the Jewish people. And not only that, they started to get political power and political sway and started to fight against the rabbis and started to cause trouble. These are Jews, by the way. We're not talking non-Jews. We're talking Jews. And it's hard to believe that Jewish people could actually, like, cause trouble among our nation. And that's hard to believe. But take it as a given. V'hayu mitzirin Yisrael. And they would start to cause trouble. U'masitim otam l'shuv achrim Hashem. And they were leading them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was like this large group that was doing damage to our people. They were Jews, and they were anti-Jewish, and anti-mitzvahs, and anti-God, and they were causing a lot of trouble. The Kevan Shuras is a gedola, because of Bnei Adam. And when Rabbi Gamliel saw, he was the leader of his generation, that this needed to be addressed, Amad Hu Beistino, he stood up, and is Beistin, and that's the big thing to do, by the way, just so you know, V'hitkin bracha achat, and he made his own bracha. He made it his own bracha. Sheta b'sheila mifnei Hashem la'aved as aminim, and they establish a bracha and request from Hashem la'aved as aminim, that these minim should be destroyed. V'kava atop tefillah, and he got put into the tefillah that all Jews would say wherever they are, k'dei sheta ruach b'fi akol, that everyone should be able to say it. So first of all, we have prayers to be, we'll see, we're going to talk about prayers for health and wealth and success and spiritual success and all the rest of it, and to be protected against non-Jews. And now, a prayer to be added to the Amidah. There was such a problem among the Jewish people that Jews themselves were causing more damage than the other nations. It's a big problem. It wasn't a new problem, by the way. We had problems back in the Midbar in the desert. We had problems in Mitzrayim when Jews were sabotaging their own people. This was not a new problem. But it obviously got to such a point in the days of Rabban Gamliel that something had to be done. And they fought against them politically, but there had to be a spiritual response as well, says the Rambam. So they actually made a 19th blessing. Imagine that. We go from 18 to 19. It's still called the Shimon Esrei, the 18, but it's actually 19. All right? And the Vilamal Shinim Bracha, as we have it, is the one that was added on later. And we'll see where it was put and why it was put when we go through the Amidah, because there's a number of places, three basic sections it could have been added in. It was added into one of those three. Okay? So the Gemara says, let's talk about the idea in general, that, and this is Rabbi Yehuda, and he says that a person, Leolam, Ali Shal Adam Sarachav, Lo B'Shalosh Rishonot, you shouldn't ask for your needs in the first three barachot. So we're going to see the Shemon Esrei is going to be divided into three sections. The first section has three brachot, which we are actually going to consider one long bracha with three parts. Okay. And there are going to be some halachic questions that we are going to look at to deal with that, that may come as a challenge. But the first three brachot are actually one bracha. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara, whatever you do, don't ask for your own personal needs in the first three brachot. Okay? And then he says, V'lo b'shalosh acharonot, and you should not ask for your personal needs in the last three. Ella b'emsiut. Personal needs you're going to ask. People will say to me, and then people feel guilty, they're like, Rabbi, can I pray about my own needs? People actually ask me that question. If you look at the Amidah, right, which is the archetypal prayer that we say, every other prayer is leading us to that point. That's the highest level of prayer that we have, is the Amidah itself. We see that the big chunk of it is us asking for our own stuff. Now, it may be a higher level of prayer to pray for somebody else, that's for sure. And we'll see that the vast majority of the brachot in the Amidah end with the nu. What's new? Us. Right? We ask Hashem to give us, except one, we'll see, maybe two. But we're always asking in the plural. So we ask for our own stuff. We ask for us as a nation. We don't just ask, like, give me. That you can do later on, by the way. But we're asking for our own needs. And that's the whole middle section. So the first section, we'll see, you don't ask for your own stuff. The last section, you don't ask for your own stuff. You don't start that way. You don't finish that way. But you throw into the middle all these sections of asking for your own stuff. Could you pass this to Chloe, please? Thank you so much. So what are the first ones meant to be? So now the Gemara is going to break it down. So we have three parts to Tefillah. When we say Tefillah, it means general prayer, but now we're talking of the Amidah, which is our focus. The first three brachot of the Amidah are like a eved, a servant, who is misada shevach, praising his master. So the first three, these first three blessings are us praising God. The middle, giving shevach. That's how he starts. The middle three, says the Gemara, Dome le'eved shemavakeish pras mirabo. Now you ask for your stuff. Pras. You're asking for prizes. Achronot, Dome le'eved shekabel pras, who received the gift, what he wanted, mirabo, v'niftav olechlo. And now he is excusing him or herself. Let's have a look at that. So we have three parts. First part is praising. Second, that's the first three, which we're going to consider one. Second grouping, the middle section, which is going to be much more, is going to be us asking for stuff. And the last section is us thanking Hashem and going. Now, there's many questions on this. It's a little bit disingenuous, isn't it? Disingenuous. The first part, you're like praising God. Then you ask for your stuff. What does that sound like? What's the problem with that? It's a little bit shallow, isn't it? So you go to your parents. Oh, Mum, you look fantastic today. Wow. Dad, that suit, sharp. You know what? Did I ever tell you? You are the best parents that have ever walked the face of this earth. And I need to borrow $100, please. And can I borrow your car? What would your parents say? Like, whoa, 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 one second. They're like, yeah, what's going on with that? It's like, first of all, you're buttering me up. You're asking me. You're being all nice and lovely. And now I realize the only reason you were being nice to me is because you wanted stuff. Are we doing exactly the same thing to Hashem? The first three is us turning to Hashem, saying, oh, Hashem, you're so fantastic. Melech, Ozeh, Moshiach, Magen, you're my savior. We'll go through those four words. Actually, we're going to see those four words are the four most important words in the entire Midah. And you're being, it's like you're, you know, kissing up. And you start to ask for your stuff. Why is that going to work? What do you think? How's that going to work? But you're right. You have to thank God for everything every day, right? And you're doing that. But right afterwards, you ask for your stuff. It's like, you know, it's a little bit. No, a little bit. Does that sound a little bit?
I feel like Hashem like wants you to treat you like how he wants to be like comfortable, like you just how like you do that with your parents. Like Hashem like wants you to.
So I think you're getting it. Hashem wants that. The basic answer is going to be Hashem wants it that way, right? That's what you're set up by the Anshei Kavod Gadol. But I think Hashem wants us to realize, and we need to realize who we're talking to. Right? I mean, you walk into a bank, and there's a guy cleaning the floor. Do you go to that person and say, "Hi, I'd like to make $1 million loan, please"? Because I know you don't talk to me. They'll direct you to that person. You go to the teller behind the window, you're like, "Hi, I'd like to." Take $1 million loan for my business? I'm like, you know, you can't talk to me. I can just give you, like, what's in your account, you know? You got to go, and they'll keep pushing you up. You got to realize who you're talking to. You got to walk in and ask, like, oh, can I have this? First of all, who am I talking to? Oh, that I can fit. Now I'm talking to the one who can actually give it to me. As I've said before, just by opening your mouth in tefillah and prayer, you're saying three big things. Right, we mentioned last semester. One, there's a God. Two, God listens to us mortals, us humans. And three, Hashem can do something about my request. That's a big thing. Just by opening your mouth, just opening your mouth. So before you ask, you've got to know who you're talking to. You have to raise, you don't really like, oh, I'm like, you're not turning to your parents, oh, you're the best parents. It's for you, you've got to raise. Wow, my parents are able to do this for me. My parents are the ones who are able to lend me their car. My parents are the one who are giving me all my stuff. Right, so before you ask, you've got to know who you're talking to. It's not for Hashem. Not Hashem needs you to like praise him. We need to praise. We need to understand that this is the way it's got to be. You see? So once you figure that out, and once you know you're talking to the creator of the entire universe who can give me whatever I want, then you ask, and then comes the big shopping list. Then comes like, you know, the Christmas shopping list. Okay, God, I'd like to have, you know, get good grades in my exams, and I like to be healthy, and right, can you find me a decent, normal Jewish male to get married to, you know? Just like, you know, just like something normal. Just like normal and nice, you know? And you gotta have this, and you list your stuff, and you can't leave after that. You gotta say thank you, but how can you say thank you when you don't have it yet? It's also weird. That's what it says. The Gemara says, Domila Evid, you be like a servant. Shikabel Pras, you receive the prize. Miraboy, Veniftava Elachlani goes. One second. I'm there praying, please God, give me a Ferrari. Please God, give me a Ferrari, you know? That's what you pray when you're like 10 years old. Like, please God, I want a Ferrari. And then you reach, when you reach my age, you're like, please God, let me pay my mortgage. Please God, let me pay my mortgage. It changes, you see. Your priorities change. So, but amazing, same words, just different kavana. Right? When a 10-year-old asks for wisdom, they don't know what they're asking for. When a 30-year-old asks for wisdom, when a 50-year-old asks for wisdom, same words, different kavana, different intention. So it's not the same prayer, by the way. It's completely different prayers. You think the Amida is one prayer? It's not. It's billions. It's trillions of prayers. Because when you ask for money and I ask for money, we're asking completely different things. And when you ask for wisdom and I ask for wisdom, completely different things. The words are the same. It's not the words, I love you. The words are the same. But they mean very, very different things when you say it to your child, when you say it to your husband or your wife, when you say it to your friends, when you say it to your doctor, right? These are different things. Same words, different things. The Amida is not the same. People are saying to me, but it's the same thing every day. It shouldn't be the same thing every day. Because you shouldn't be the same person you were yesterday. That's the Aracha. But the Rashi says that. It should not be the same prayer. When you ask for health on a Wednesday, and you wake up Thursday morning with a headache, and you ask for health, you should actually be changing your prayer to get rid of that headache. The Gemara says that. You don't have to be so highfalutin. The Gemara says, if you have a backache or you have a stomachache, you should pray to Hashem and say, oh, I feel lousy. Please, Hashem, get rid of this lousy feeling. Do you ever wake up feeling lousy? Of course you do. You're Jewish. Right? All we do is wake up kvetching. Same thing. So we wake up and we are meant to think, oi, you know what? I'm really irritated today. Please, Hashem, get rid of the irritation. That's what you're meant to do. It's not one prayer. It's thousands. Why do we finish off with saying thank you? Right? The last part we're going to say is the Hoda'ah. Right? Modim. General prayer. So that's exactly it. You're meant to have faith in Hashem that you know what? Hashem has answered my prayers. It may not be the thought I would be answered. And it may not be what I wanted or what I thought I wanted, but at least we hope it will be what we need. Okay? And we have gratitude for that. Yeah? And that's the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah. And he says, chapter 1, Ela chiyuv mitzvah zu, what is the obligation of this chiyuv? Kachu shia adam mitchanen mitpalal b'chol yom, you have to pray every day. It's not easy prayer, by the way. I'm not a great prayer myself. Because I need stuff. I find it very difficult to concentrate. You know? Except when you need stuff, suddenly, ooh, right? You're like praying so good. Says the Rambam, no difference. You still got to pray every day. You start, first of all, number one, by giving the Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising God. Says the Rambam. Then you ask for your stuff. Then you ask your big, long list. Okay, let's talk business. Let's talk shop, God. I want me. Or us. And that's okay, by the way. No saying Shevach Hoda LaHashem Ala Tova Shashpi Allah. Then we give gratitude of all the good that Hashem has given us. Kol Echad Kefi Kocho, says the Rambam. Everyone according to their ability. A 5-year-old says, thank you. Right? But as you get older, you may become more sophisticated. Right? We shouldn't go into our older. Right? And that's what says the Rambam. That's why Amdu V'tikun Lehem Shemana Esra Brachot Shal HaSeder. And that's the way we'll set up. Ezra says the Rambam set it up this way. 18 blessings. 1, 2, 3. 3 groupings. The first grouping, 3. Second group, last grouping, 3. Middle section. Everything you need. Okay. V'yesh behen she'elot kol etzvaram shehen kumos avod l'chol chafsei ish v'ish l'asoch ha'tzibur. You pray for yourself and you pray for your community. You pray for your community. You pray for other people. That's the way it is. Now, you may have noticed that when people say the Shemana Esrei, how do we say the Shemona Esrei? Do we scream it out? No. We do scream out some prayers. Some prayers we say out loudly. And some prayers we whisper. We whisper. Where does this idea of whispering come from, which wasn't the original way people prayed? You can look inside. Her answer's inside. You're not cheating. What's her name, Jessica? Let's have a look. Her name was Chana. That's when we learn the idea of whispering our prayers. And it says in the book of Shmuel Aleph, right at the beginning over there, chapter 1, verse 9 to 15, that Chana rose after eating her meal, and Eli was the Kohen. Yoshev al kisel mezuzo heichal Hashem. He was at the holy place of God in the temple. V'imar nefesh. She had a Very bitter soul. She was very, very upset. Hit Belel al Hashem uvacha tivcha. And she really cried. By the way, as a side point, what is the longest prayer? Here's a good trivia question you can ask your friends and family, but it's not mere trivia. What's the longest prayer in the entire Torah? What's the longest prayer in the entire Torah, and who said it? That's a good question, isn't it? Isn't that good? Shaina, darling?
It seems like you thought the answer was Eliezer.
It was Eliezer, that's correct. What or whom was he praying for? A shidduch for Avraham Avinu's son, Yitzchak. That is the longest prayer in the entire Torah. As a side point, just look in the Torah, you can see maybe that praying for a shidduch, the right person at the right time and a good person, is worth praying for. Even when you're not planning on getting married very, very soon, you're still praying. Because whoever he is, or she is, they're out there. And you're actually praying for them as well. Right now, there's a guy out there who we hope is a very, very good person. He's studying Torah, and he's your future husband. It's worth praying for him. He has a nice life, things go well for him, and he finds you at the right time. Mm-hmm. Okay. She was very, very upset. She was very upset, and she was crying. And we're going to see the Gemara is going to say that the many gates of prayer are closed, but the gates of tefillah with tears, the mata open. You want something, cry for it. And if it's difficult to cry, cut an onion. Put some soap in your eyes. They'll start watering. Vaya ki arvasit spael lefnei Hashem. She started to pray a lot. Eli shema aspia, and Eli saw her mouth. He saw that she was praying, moving her mouth, but no words coming out, and he thought that she was drunk. He thought that she was drunk. Right? By the way, why would he think that? He was actually, the Gemara tells us, he was actually led to think that through a misunderstanding. He saw on the Choshen Mishpat there were different letters that would light up and answer people, answer the Kohen when he had a question, and it came up that she was Kashira, but he did the letters wrong. He had to, like, you know, play Scrabble with the letters, and it came up as Shikora. Shikora means drunk, but it was actually Kashira. She's a very kosher, good woman. Right? He misinterpreted the message that had come to him. Something we're all guilty of today. He thought she was drunk, and she had drunk too much wine, said the book of Shmuel. And he was upset with her. He went over to her and said, "Excuse me, you can't walk in here drunk. This is the house of God. This isn't, not the house of God." And he gave her a telling off. And she says, no. She says, "I am a broken person."
This is her husband?
No. This is Eli the Kohen, the high priest. Oh. And he was like, no. He's like, she's like, "I am not drunk. I am really upset. I'm a broken person. I haven't touched any wine," she said. "I am just pouring out some of my..." Amazingly, the Gemara says that from this one, it just shows what one woman in Jewish history can do for the entire Jewish people right through Jewish history. And we always say, I mean, we learn this as kids in school, and we learn our prayer from Hannah. One second. One woman made one prayer once. It must have been such a prayer that the entire Jewish people said, "That's the way we should pray." This wasn't just a small incident that happened. This event that took place changed the entire way we, the Jewish people, pray. Wow, think. Up to that point, people would, like, scream out their prayers, and suddenly, from this one woman, says the Gemara in Beracha, right? Amar Rav Hamnuna, there's how many things which are so important do we learn from this one prayer of Hannah? She spoke in her heart. And he says, from this we see, and her lips just moved. And he says, Rav Hamnun in the Gemara says, we learn here when someone prays. This is the Amida we're talking about. The rest of the prayer you can scream out. You want to scream out the Shema? Beautiful. You want to scream out the brachas in the morning? Beautiful. This is fantastic. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. However, when she prayed the Amida, he said, and she spoke loud enough. By the way, it's a misconception. It should be loud enough for you to hear. That is the halacha. It just shouldn't be audible to other people around you. Your prayer should be loud enough for you to hear yourself. Even the Amida, you should whisper it that you can hear it, but not loud enough that anyone else should hear it. Your own ear. And there's a reason why the halacha exists. That's the Shulchan Aruch. There's a reason why the halacha exists. Because when you pray, you should be listening to your own words and understanding what you're saying. So just like, you should not be, it should be loud enough for you to hear, but not loud enough to disturb anyone else. Says Rav Hamnuna, that we learn from Chana. This one prayer that happened, and believe me, there have been hundreds of thousands, millions of tefillahs that were made before that point. No, this one, this broken woman with a broken spirit, with tears in her eyes, praying for kids, that worked. And he says, that's what you learn from her, and that is how the entire Jewish people, through the entire world, for all of Jewish history, are now going to pray. Imagine that. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. That's what he says. Her voice was not audible. Mikan is palel. He says, from here we learn how to pray. Shachtach sefatav v'kola lo yishma. Her voice was not heard. Mikan she'asol lagbiya kola b'tfilato. From here we learn you shouldn't raise your voice when you pray. That is referring to the prayer of the Shemona Esrei. That is the tefillah, the prayer of the Shemona Esrei. Okay, let's stop over there. Tomorrow we will discuss how we pray, which way, and the backwards and forwards movements we make in prayer. If you haven't got your midterm, you can pick it up from me right now. Have a good day.